Grace to you and peace from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior in heaven. Amen. Well, today is the second Sunday of the season of Christmas, and Epiphany begins on Tuesday. That's a time of the year when we especially remember and celebrate the wise men who came to bring gifts to Jesus and to worship him. And so let's take a look. We're going to talk about the gifts we give to God today. Let's take a look, just refreshing ourselves at the gifts that they came to bring. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Then after they speak with Herod, verse 9, when they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they'd seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So last week, we talked about the gifts that God came to give us in Christ. This week, I'd like to talk about the gifts that we can give to God. Do you think we can give gifts to God in return for all he's given to us? God has everything. What gifts can we give to him? Can you have the joy that goes along with giving actually a gift to your Creator God and he being delighted to receive that gift from you? They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What can we give? What would be fitting for us to give? Can we indeed give gifts to God? Well, let's talk about that today. What kinds of gifts can we give to our God and he actually receive them with joy and we be joyed to give them? Let's take a look at that in God's holy word. What's God say? What can we say? Well, first of all, first point is we will not want to give gifts to God unless we first have received his gifts to us in Christ. You hear that and you believe that? We will not have a desire to be gift-giving to God throughout our lives with joy unless we have really the joy in our hearts that we have received gifts to God from God to us in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I can show that to you in Scripture in just a second. Think about this, though. The world itself doesn't believe in God. They either hate him or they just say he exists or they don't like him. But not having received God's gifts in Christ, they don't really want to give gifts to him. But of Christians, we do want to give gifts because we've received those in Christ. Gifts to us, we want to give to him. But guess what? The strength of our desire to give gifts to God, our zeal, is going to be dependent upon how greatly you believe he has given gifts to you. Make sense? Can I show you that in Scripture? Let's take a look together, if you will, at Luke chapter 7. Here's the story of a woman and a Pharisee and Jesus. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took a place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing before him, behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and to wipe them with her hair. Of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited Jesus said, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is who's touching him." Jesus answered, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "What is it, teacher?" He said, "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they couldn't pay, he forgave them both. Simon, which of them will love him more?" Simon said, "But the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more." "You judge rightly," says Jesus. "Do you see this woman?" He says, "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's not ceased to wet my feet with her tears and to wipe them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. She's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." It's seen in that she loved much. "But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you." So what do we learn by this passage in Luke chapter 7? You tell me. Well, I'll tell you. We learn that he who is forgiven little will love little. He who is forgiven much will love much. The woman knew she was forgiven much, therefore she loved much, therefore she gave the most. The Pharisees looking down his nose at this woman. She's a sinner, she's a nobody, she's a nothing. You know what Jesus says? "Simon, let me put you in your place. This woman just trounced you in gift giving. Jesus buried you in gift giving. I came into your house, you gave me no water. She's wet my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss, no gift of a kiss. She has not ceased doing that, kissing me. You gave me no oil, and she has poured it out upon me." Why? Because she knew she was forgiven much, therefore she loved much, therefore she trounced him in gift giving, right? So my point is if we want to have a desire to give gifts to God, we need to know how much he's loved us and to let that joy sink into our heart. Amen? Where are you on a scale 1 to 10 right now? You answer for yourself and how much you desire to give gifts to God in your life. 1 to 10. Are you a 10? Great. Keep on. If you're anywhere underneath a 10 in your zeal for joy for giving gifts to God, then listen up. What you need to do is you need to first, again, receive those gifts that God has given to us in Christ until they engender and kindle in your heart a joy to give back to God after him first giving to you. Let's consider that right now. How much has he forgiven you? For he who is forgiven much loves much. But he who is forgiven little or thinks he has little to be forgiven will love little and give little. Well, check it out. What's God done for you? The Bible says you're an enemy. You were an enemy, that is. You were a child of wrath. You were a sinner. You were a liar, a cheat, a stealer, a coveter. You hated. You used your words to be malicious, to harm other people. You were disobedient to your parents, and you trusted in yourself when you should have been trusting in God. That makes you an idolater. So we got a lot stacked against us. But then God, when you were all these things, gave us a child, and a son was born, and the government was upon his shoulder, and his name was Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And even then, God set up for you a king who would establish a kingdom for you in righteousness and justice from this time forth and forevermore. And that's the zeal of the Lord of hosts doing this for you. Does that start to kindle in you some sort of joy that you want to give back to God who's done this for you? If not enough, well, then look at this one. God so loved you that he gave his only son, that you, believing on him, should not perish but have eternal life. Doesn't that well up in you some sort of joy? You want to return this to God? Guess what? If you're not feeling a joy to give gifts to God right now, maybe you think you didn't have much to be forgiven. Because he who is forgiven little will love little and give little. Think about how much God has forgiven you and forgiven me, that we might have a joy. Consider this. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, as a gift to you. And he's cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, Micah says, never to be seen again, never to be remembered against you. You're free. Doesn't that kindle in you a joy to give to him? If not, consider this verse. God gave you the free gift of righteousness. If because of Adam's sin, death reigned through Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Is God given you to cover you right now righteousness, Jesus' own? Doesn't that kindle in you a joy? Look at what he's given you. And then it says, if that's not enough, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? God's plan not only to give you Jesus, who's his most precious son, his only son, but with him, everything. He owns the universe, the cosmos, seen and unseen. It's all your inheritance. And this is a free gift. And he loves you that much. Don't you want to give something back to this God who has loved you in this way with joy? He loved you with joy. Don't you want to give to him in joy? And Jesus says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Hopefully you feel some more joy now. You want to give to God. If you don't, guess what? You probably don't think you have that much to be forgiven. For he who is forgiven little loves little. But the one who's forgiven much, like this sinful woman, she trounced the other guy because she believed that she'd been forgiven much. Consider today how much God has forgiven you, and you will be a great gift giver. And consider Paul as the supreme example, a ravager and destroyer and killer of the church with vengeance. God forgave him everything on the road to Damascus and then gave him everything. And then Paul says, the rest of my life, all I want to do is give gifts to God who has given me everything as a gift in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's have that kindling. And if you don't have it today, keep considering how much he's forgiven you until that fire is kindled. Perhaps you could be as zealous as Paul. So the next thing we ask, though, is what gifts can we give to God? You ever hear that phrase, what can you give to the man who has everything? Right? Well, what can you give to the God who has everything? Ultimately, the answer to that question is you can't give him squat. You can't give him anything. You can give him nothing because he owns it all and has need of nothing in the first place anyway. You don't make him any richer when you give him a gift or any poorer when you don't give him a gift. This is in one sense I'm talking. For God says in Job, who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. You know, when you're a little kid and you get a birthday cards or Christmas presents, you get maybe a sweater or something, you're like, oh, okay. But you get a check and you're like, awesome, because you're richer for the gift. If you give a gift to God, he's no richer for it, even if you give him everything you have. He owns it. So what do you give to this God who already has everything? David said in his prayer when he gave to God, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that's in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer willingly to you? For all things come from you, and of what you already own have we given you, says David. So what can you give to God? Only what of what he's already given to you, right? You can't give him anything he doesn't already own. So what do you give to this God? He doesn't live in shrines made by man, says Paul. He isn't served by human hands, as if he needed anything from you. He doesn't, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. What do you give to the God who has everything? Look at the heavens, says Elihu and Job. He's calling right now. See, he's calling to see which are higher than you. If you've sinned, what do you accomplish against God? If your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you're righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? For your wickedness concerns a man like yourself, and your righteousness concerns a man like yourself. You can give gifts to other people. You can help or harm them. But what are you going to give to the God who owns, has everything, and has no need of anything that you would give him? What do you give to the God who has everything? Answer, you can give him nothing in a sense. That's true. But the next point is more glorious. There he is calling again. In another sense, we can give God gifts, and he's delighted to receive them from us, of what he already owns. And I think about my relationship with Naomi, beautiful, dear daughter, whom I love with all my heart. When she was a little toddler, when she was a little baby, especially, 5, 6, what gift could she give me in those days, or even now? If she goes to the mall and buys something for me, the money for that gift comes from my own wallet, right? If she were to make a gift, a craft for me, I supplied the materials. If she were to draw for me, I supplied the crayons and the paper. She could only give me of what she had already received from me, and I was no richer or poorer for it monetarily, but guess what I'll tell you? It sure blessed me to receive any gift from her, even if it was from what I already gave to her. Amen? Think about what God receives from us. What gifts can we give to God? Wouldn't that be great if God just gave us a list? For he delights to receive gifts from his children. Just like I could not throw away a thing Naomi gave me. We have 2 crates full of her gifts to me when she was a baby. I can't bear to part with one of them. God can't bear to part with one of yours. Because why? A gift is an expression of love. And God has given us gifts and expressions of love in Jesus. when we give to him of what he's already given us, even though he's not richer or poor for it, we're giving him an expression of our love, and that's a delight to a father's heart, and he won't throw one of them away. They're counted as precious and a delight to his heart. And consider then, what gifts can we give to him? Now, at Christmas time, you ever get a gift where you didn't really want the gift? Wasn't really what you wanted? You know, you're living in Florida, say, and your neighbor up north sends you a winter coat and a wool hat. You're like, oh, gee, thanks. Really like that. Appreciate it. And you kind of fake a smile because it's not what you really wanted. Wasn't it better to get something that was on your list? Well, God has a list of the things he wants gifts from you of. And let's take a look at them now. First, we turn to Micah chapter 6. Let me look at this one. We read, "What shall I come? With what shall I come before the Lord? And how and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" What's the answer to all those questions? He doesn't need any of these. These are not gifts he needs. Here's one he likes. "He has showed you, O man, what is good." Here's his list. "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" You think after God giving you everything in Jesus Christ, you could give him that gift to just walk with him? He says, "I'll count that as a gift to me, that you simply walk with me through life in humility, love the things that I love, justice and kindness and things like that, and walk humbly with me through life. That will be a gift and a delight to your father's heart. You can give to me," he says. Do you believe that? Yesterday, Naomi and I went up to one of the springs, about an hour and a half north of here, De Leon Springs, where we went swimming in the spring, clear water, about half an hour. And then we went out and canoed for 3 hours and saw, in the first hour and a half, we saw 17 alligators. Two of which were grandpappies, about 12 feet, not 12 feet long and not that much further from the boat, maybe 30 feet from the boat, our canoe. We had an awesome time. We went back and swam again in the springs and then had a great time on the drive there and back, 3 hours total. You know what? Naomi didn't give me any money yesterday. In fact, we spent some money. She didn't give me any gifts of materials. You know what she gave me? She walked with her dad, and she rejoiced in me, and I got to rejoice in her. And I'll tell you something, I wouldn't have anybody, if someone offered me $1 million, I wouldn't take it, as opposed to that day. I want that day. That's the gift to the Father's heart. And that's the gift we can give to God, to simply walk with him in joy, rejoicing in him, he rejoicing in us. For it says in Psalm 50, "Hear my people, I'll speak, O Israel. I'm not going to accept a bull from your house, nor he-goat from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle in 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine." And then God says, "But offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. And I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me." That's the first gift that God wants for you. Offer to him a walk with joy in him, calling upon his name, him delivering you, and you giving him thanks. And that will bring more joy to your father's heart than you can believe. That's number one gift. How about that for 2015? Give to him. Walk with him in humility and love kindness. Here's the second thing you can do. God's given you a whole lot of things in life, right? He's given you time. He's given you talents, gifts. He's given you treasures and possessions. How about you offer to him this year the best of all those things that you have, the most, the first of these, for he's a mighty king. Proverbs 3 says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce." Do you give him the best of what you have, or do you kind of slip him the leftovers? If the Queen of England comes and visits you in your house, would you give her a fine filet mignon, or would you give her a leftover peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Well, what are we giving to God? God's people often have not given him their best. Will he receive such gifts from us, being a great king? In Malachi, God says to his people, "When you offer blind animals in your sacrifices, isn't that an evil? And when you offer those that are lame and sick, isn't that an evil? Present that to your governor," says God. Will he show you favor, says the Lord? And now entreat the favor of the Lord, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show any favor to you, says the Lord of hosts? You know what he tells his people there? Stop giving me your leftovers and your junk. Give me your best. I've given it to you in the first place, and I'll sustain you when you give it to me. Give me of your first of everything. That's a gift that God wants. He says it in his Bible. Now, I was talking with Betty Duda this week, and one of her daughters, she has a story of one of her daughters. When she was in college, she had $20 left to her name, basically, for a week or two. And she thought, this is what I have to live on, and I have no other money. But she was in church, and she remembered the words of her mom and dad, and she said, God, I'm going to give you everything I have. The whole $20, I have nothing to live on for a whole week. Don't know how I'll make it, but it's all for you. I'm going to trust you because I love you. I want to give this gift. And you know what? She gave it, and then she said, oh my goodness, how am I going to survive? Well, it just so happened after church, someone invited her over to dinner. And then the next day, a casserole shows up anonymously, doesn't know from where, and all through the week, she was supplied with food all that week. You think God is going to let you go bankrupt if you give him your best? Well, he says, give me your best. Why? Because that's an expression of love. If I had a diamond ring and I give to Beth instead a Cracker Jack plastic thing, you think she'll accept that from my hand? No. She made me not do that. But guess what? Give your love in heaven your best. That's what you do for your spouse. That's what he's done for you in Christ. And that's what love, the kingdom is giving love to one another. Give them your best. That's the best expression of love. Of your time, of the gifts that you have, your talents, and of your treasures and possessions. And third on his wish list, walk with him, give him of your best. Thirdly, is that you love one another. You know, even before you give any offerings today, and if we have to take a hit this week, that's cool. That's fine. Because just check out what Jesus says about your gifts. He says in verse 23 of Matthew 5, if you're offering your gift at the altar to God, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. God doesn't want anything else you own until you first go and love other people and reconcile with them. Do you have anybody you're at odds with today? Any rifts? Any unforgiveness? Any grudges? Praise God if you don't. Then come offer your gift. But if you do, first go and reconcile, Jesus says. That's more important to God than the others. Think about that. The cross. God has reconciled us vertically, but he also wants us reconciling and loving each other horizontally as well. That's a gift you can give to God. Go to someone and say, I forgive you. I pass over these things. I put them behind me. I don't remember them against you anymore because God forgave me that way. And then God is delighted with gifts like that. He is just, do you know how much joy in heaven there is with the angels when you do that? They are all cheering you. That's a gift. And then go and love others as he has first loved you. God says this, you can't see me. I'm invisible. You really can't ultimately give gifts to me. But I'll tell you what I'll accept as a gift from you. I will accept as a gift if you go and love those whom I love, especially remembering the poor, doing them kindness, justice, gentleness, giving to them. For at the last day, the king is going to come. He's going to gather all the dead. They'll stand before him, and he'll say to those at his right, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. What's he doing here? He's saying, you gave it to people. But I'm counting that as those as gifts to me and to the king. I was naked and you clothed me, a stranger and you welcomed me, sick and you visited. I was in prison and you came to me. And then we're going to say the righteous, when did we see you do all these things? We don't remember giving gifts to you there. As you did it to the least of the one of these, you did it to me. And so God says, if you want to give gifts to me, give them to each other. Love each other. And so we have one person in our church go and give a surprise dinner, Christmas dinner to someone who has none. Another writes a letter to a prisoner. Another gives a secret note of encouragement. Another takes off his coat and gives it to someone who has none. These are all gifts, God says, not just to men, but to God. For steadfast love, justice, and righteousness, these are the things in which I delight, says the Lord. and I'll count them as my gifts. And therefore it says in Hebrews, don't neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So he's given you a list, friends. These is just a small one. Walk with him, love one another, reconcile, and give gifts to those in need. And these are gifts we can give to God. And ultimately, I'll say this in conclusion, you ultimately can't give God anything that is to make him rich or poor, for he has everything. But you know what he wants from you? Everything. That's the best expression of love. Why? Because God first gave to us everything, every perfect gift in Jesus. He's expressing his undying full love for you. Just like in true love, the man gives such to his wife, to his bride, to his lover. And so he expects and wishes the bride, his lover, to give her all to him. That's true love, right? Full giving and full giving back and all in a beautiful wrapping of love. That is the kingdom of God. And so when he's given us everything in Jesus Christ, let's present to him our bodies, our souls, our hearts, our treasures, our time, our talents, our everything, to work his grace on earth, to love one another, and to give everything to him who has given his all for us. In Jesus' name, amen.